Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship today. Great to see you all here. A very special welcome to anyone who is visiting with us today. If you live in the area and you're looking for a church to call your very own home, we'd love to have you join us here at Atonement to speak to me, and we'll make sure that happens soon. As always, when we gather for worship, the sacrament of Holy Communion is offered as a central part, and all of you are invited to come and have your faith fed and refreshed through the gifts God gives us at His table today. Our midweek Advent services will conclude this Wednesday. We'll gather here at 7 o'clock for that service featuring Holden Evening Prayer. And the theme this week will be God with Us, Our Living Branch. So do come and join us for that service. Earlier in the day, the women of the church will gather out there in the narthex for their monthly meeting. There will be a soup and bread luncheon this time, so that's always fun. And then a devotional of some sort that Lily's going to lead, and lots of good fellowship. So, and if you'd like to bring a Christmas cookie or two to share as a dessert, that would be great too. On the back of the Words of the Week, there's information about a spiritual memoir writing class that's going to take place here at the church beginning on Sunday, January 6th. You can read all about it back there. Larry Leonards, is that how you say your name? Close enough? Okay. Who teaches at Oregon Coast Community College and at the Senior Center is going to be leading that class. Linda Kilbride took a class from him at the Senior Center, and if you can believe Linda, she said it was a wonderful experience. So, I think maybe we'll have a sign. Is there going to be a limit in number? All right. Come one, come all. Sunday, January 6th from 1:30 to 10:30, and that will last for 6 weeks. So looking forward to that. Rick, you want to say something about caroling?
Yes, thank you. Well, Pastor, you're right. 8 o'clock does come twice a day. I found that out painfully this morning. So I did the same thing this morning. I have three brief announcements, and I'll give you all of a minute for your sermon, okay? All right.
Don't get their hopes up.
Merry Christmas, everyone. I'd like to start with a greeting from Terry Homer, our not that recently departed financial secretary. I had the privilege of listening to her in concert last night at the Corvallis Repertory Singers in Corvallis. She did a wonderful job. Sends her Christmas greeting to all of you, number one. Number two, this is the 200th year of the hymn and or carol, Silent Night. And so as we celebrate this Christmas, keeping in mind that on Christmas Eve this year, it will be 200 years since Franz Gruber and Joseph Mohr, I hope I got that right, Gene, these were Austrians who created that hymn, and we celebrate 200 years as an anniversary. And it's self-advertised as the most famous Christmas hymn of all. Which brings me to the last of the announcements. This afternoon at 2 o'clock, we'll gather in the narthex. All of you are invited for a couple of places of Christmas caroling. It shouldn't last much more than about an hour. We will be inside, and we'll have books for you just in case you're a little rusty with any of the words, and we're going to hopefully send to our community some goodwill from Atonement Lutheran Church through song. That's it. Thanks.
Thank you, Rick. Paul? I think John Baker was around when that song was written 200 years ago. I think he was.
Getting over the hilarity part, the First Presbyterian Church in Newport is offering a longest day Blue Christmas service at 7 p.m. on December 21st, which is the longest night of the year. Not only does this date mark the darkest point in our seasonal calendar, it can be a dark time emotionally as well. They recognize that the Christmas holiday is not a time for joy for everyone, and so the Blue Christmas service offers a more quiet, contemplative tone than a traditional Christmas worship service. They have scripture readings, music, poetry, meditation, all focusing on the comfort God offers during dark times. There will be candles and an opportunity to light candles in remembrance of a loved one. Again, that's December 21st at 7 p.m. at the First Presbyterian Church.
Thank you, Paul. Any other announcements this morning? If not, please stand for the call to worship printed in your bulletin. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven. I will hear what the Lord God has to say. A voice that speaks for peace. Peace for all faithful people and those who turn to him in their hearts. God's help is near to those who fear him, that his glory may dwell in our land. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven. Today we will light the third of our Advent candles, and we will sing verse 1, 2, and 3 of the Advent candles. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the Lord of Israel who comes to set us free, the mighty Savior who comes to show mercy and grace, the dawn from on high who guides us into peace. Amen. Amen. Let us come before God in confession. To you, O God, we lift up our souls.
You know us through and through.
We confess our sins to you. Remember not our sins, but remember us with your steadfast love. Show us your ways, teach us your paths, and lead us in justice and truth for the sake of your goodness in Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. In the advent of Christ, the dawn from on high breaks upon us with light and healing. Through Jesus Christ, God looks with favor upon you and forgives you all your sins. Amen. Amen. Thanks be to God. Our hymn of hope this morning is number 510.
Yeah.
is, and who is to come. Grace and peace be with you all. Let us pray. Stir up the wills of your faithful people, Lord God, and open our ears to the preaching of John, that rejoicing in your salvation, we may bring forth the fruits of repentance. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. I would invite the children to come forward for the children's message. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Good.
Is your brother not here today? How come? He's sick? Oh, that's too bad. Tell him to feel better, okay? So, we have how many candles lit?
Three.
And what's that mean?
Almost Christmas.
Almost. One more week to go, right? Are you getting excited? Me too. Church at Christmas is the best. That's what you're excited for, right?
Yeah.
I thought so. So once again today, our gospel reading is about John the Baptist. And the Bible tells us that John the Baptist was a preacher who came to help people get ready for the coming of Jesus. Just as you came up to see me this morning. Lots of people came out to see John. And John tried to get them ready for Jesus. And he said that if they were serious about wanting to meet Jesus, they needed to bear fruit. Fruit. So, I brought some fruit. I brought an orange and an apple and a banana. So, I think one of the ways that we can get ready for Jesus is to bear fruit. So, we could get a little string and tie that around your neck and you could wear it the rest of the day, okay? You don't seem too excited about that. You don't think that's a very good idea, huh? Okay, well, you know, the more I think about it, the more I think that's probably not the kind of fruit that John the Baptist was talking about. I remember that John told the people to act right and to treat others kindly. And I also remember that St. Paul, in one of his writers, also talks about fruits. And he says, these are the fruits of the Spirit. And they are this: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So those are the kinds of fruits that God wants us to have in our lives, right? These kind of fruits are good to eat, but they aren't much good for following Jesus. But if we have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, all those fruits in our lives, then we're good at following Jesus, right? Right. Let's pray. Dear God, we do thank you for sending Jesus to be our Savior and our Lord. And we do thank you for the fruits that you have placed into our hearts and our lives through our baptism into Jesus. Help us to live the kind of people, help us to live the kind of lives that you want us to live, so that all people will see in us Jesus our Lord. Bless these children today and always, and keep them in your care. Amen. So I'll take my fruits back, since you didn't want to wear them. Maybe I'll get somebody out there to wear them today.
Today's the third Advent, or the third Sunday of Advent, December 16, 2018. Our first lesson comes from Zephaniah, chapter 3, verses 14 through 20. The prophet Zephaniah's message is mostly one of judgment for sin. This reading, however, which comes from the conclusion of the book, prophesies joy for Judah and Jerusalem. Judgment has led to repentance, and God's salvation is at hand. Hear now the word. Sing aloud, O daughter Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgment against you. He has turned away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall fear disaster no more. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, do not fear, O Zion. Do not let your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a warrior who gives victory. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you in his love. He will exult over you with loud singing as on a day of festival. I will remove disaster from you, so that you will not bear reproach for it. I will deal with all your oppressors at that time, and I will save the lame and gather the outcast, and I will change their shame into praise and a renown in all the earth. At that time I will bring you home, at that time when I gather you, for I will make you renowned and praised among all the peoples of the earth. When I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Lord. Holy wisdom, holy word. Our psalmody is on page 3 in your bulletin, and it comes from Isaiah chapter 12, verses 2 through 6. I will read the light print, and you will respond with the dark print. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid, for the Lord God is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation.
With joy you will draw water from the wells.
And you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known his deeds among the nations, proclaim that his name is exalted.
Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known in all the earth. Shout aloud and sing for joy, O Lord of the land. For great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel.
Our second lesson comes from Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Despite being in prison, Paul is remarkably upbeat as he writes this letter. Here he urges his friends on the Philippi to trust God with all their worries and concerns, with a hope that will experience God's joy and peace. Hear now the word. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
He came down that we may.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the third chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
John said to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor,' for I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." And the crowds asked him, "What then should we do?" In reply, he said to them, "Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise." Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, "Teacher, what should we do?" He said to them, "Collect no more than the amount prescribed for you." Soldiers also asked him, "And we, what should we do?" He said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusation, and be satisfied with your wages." As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." So with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Do any of you remember that old genre of jokes a few years ago called good news, bad news jokes? Well, if you've forgotten them, here's a couple of examples. A ship's captain calls his crew together and says to them, "Fellas, I've got some good news and some bad news. The good news is that today we get to change underwear. The bad news is that Swenson is changing with Carlson and Olsen is changing with Nelson." Must have been a Viking ship. Two golfing buddies were talking and they wonder if there will be golf in heaven. They make a pact that the first one to go will return, if possible, to tell the one left behind. After a while, one of them dies. Later that night, he appears in a vision to his friend. "Pete," he says, "I've got some good news and some bad news. The good news is that there is golf in heaven. The bad news is that you have a tea time on Tuesday." And even worse news is that even heaven couldn't improve your golf game, Pete. One more. A lawyer says to her client, "I have some good news and some bad news." Her client responds, "Well, give me the bad news first." "The bad news is that the blood at the scene of the crime matches yours perfectly." "Oh no, I'm ruined," the client says. "So what's the good news?" "The good news is your cholesterol's down to 130. Okay, enough of that. On this third Sunday of Advent, the gospel reading tells us that John the Baptist comes bringing good news to the people of first century Israel. But to them, I don't think it sounded much like good news. Listen again. "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath that is coming? I can baptize you here in the Jordan River, but there's one who is coming so great I'm not even fit to tie his shoes. When he comes, watch out. He will clear the deck of all the slackers. Good folks will join him in the barn, but sinful folks will be sent to hell." And then Luke ends his story by writing, "So with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people." Good news? What good news? Is it good news that God is coming to earth to judge and punish sinners? Is it good news that people who have many possessions, or those whose jobs happen to be tax collecting, or soldiers who have been less than compassionate, will have to stand before the king and face his wrath? What John should have done is told the people a joke. I have good news and bad news for you. The good news is that the Messiah is coming. The bad news is that he's not really going to like what he finds. That theology reminds me of the bumper sticker I mentioned a couple of weeks ago. You know, the one that says, Jesus is coming soon and he's not very happy. John the Baptist was the last of the Old Testament prophets and the first of the New. He was speaking to an audience who had lived with the image of a wrathful God, a God who demanded righteous living or else. And when these people failed in their righteousness, they then had to make sacrifices like doves or lambs or money in order to keep a good standing with God. Forgiveness was not so much a first century Jewish concept. So, of course, John the Baptist's message was a rather rigid one. Walk the straight and narrow in preparation for the coming of the Messiah, or else. What John did not know, I suppose what he could not yet know, is that Jesus would come to be a judge, but also a savior. What he could not yet say is this: I bring you good news, bad news, and wonderful news. The good news is that the king is coming. The bad news is he's coming to judge the sin in your lives. And the wonderful news is that he's going to declare you all not guilty. What John didn't yet know was the amazing news that the coming king would offer grace to all those sinners, grace and love as a free, unmerited gift, that everyone who trusted in this promise would live forever. That is the ultimate good news of the coming of Christ. But what I think what is often lost in all of John's fire and brimstone and imagery of fires and unquenchable fires is the sincerity of the people who heard his message and then wanted to change their ways. What should we do? They asked. His answer, interestingly enough, is not an impossible list of do's and don'ts, of shoulds and should nots, but is instead is a rather simple and practical description of how the people of God ought to act and live in the world. Here are the three examples John uses. If you have two coats and you see someone who has none, well, give one of them away. Sounds simple, doesn't it? Sounds doable. I haven't counted the coats in my closet, but I know I have way more than two. What am I thinking? John says the same thing about food. If you have enough food in your pantry to meet your need today, and you see someone who has none, how can you not share with them? How many of you qualify as a viper by that rubric? What can we do, asked the tax collectors. What about us, asked the soldiers. Both of these groups were notorious for their greed and their hardness of heart. John says to them, be honest and compassionate in your dealings with others. These are rather simple changes in lifestyle and attitude, aren't they? But it gave the people of John's day some hope. They did not need to fear the coming of the Messiah if their hearts were in the right place. They did not need to live perfect lives. They did not need to change the whole world. Just love God and serve people. That was John's simple message. Well, it's been 2,000 years now since John's time, and I think it's still a good question to ask. What should we do? What fruit is God calling us to bear now? If our lives don't reflect what our lips and our faith confess, are we truly ready? Are we truly prepared for our Lord's coming? The problem is so few of us are asking the question. We are so busy working our jobs and raising our children and maintaining our homes and enjoying our friends that it rarely occurs to us to ask, what should we do to prepare for the coming of the Christ? What should we do? A very good question. So here's an answer. If you have two coats, give one of them away. If you have more food than you can eat, share. If you are a business person, be an honest one. If you are a soldier, be a compassionate one. If you're a truck driver, drive safely and observe the speed limit. If you're a pastor, be a truthful one. If you're a child, honor your parents. If you're a husband or a wife, be a faithful one. And above all, if you are a follower of Christ, be real. Love God, serve people, and remember that the Savior, your Savior, has forgiven you. That's the final good news for today. The Savior has forgiven you. Amen. Please stand as we sing Hark a Thrilling Voice is Sounding, number 246.
Prayers of the Church. As we await the coming of Christ, we pray and hope for the Church, the world, and all creation. For choirs, hymn writers, musicians, and off-key singing, we give you thanks, Holy One. Fill us with your song of joy. Open us to proclaim your glory in our singing, speaking, and silence. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
For the hurting places in creation, for seas and lands ravaged by natural disasters, for communities and creatures displaced by floods and drought, grant peace through your presence and joy in your healing. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
For peace to ring out in our hearts and in our homes, for mercy and forgiveness to reign in every community, for war to cease and hunger to end, Give us this joy now, Holy One. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
For those who are oppressed, for soldiers and veterans with post-traumatic stress disorder and their families, for neighbors who have no access to medical care, for those who are ill and those who mourn, fill them with your peace. Lord, in your mercy. For foster families opening your homes, for grandparents raising grandchildren, for single parents struggling to make ends meet, for expectant parents who now grieve, give strength and comfort, Holy One. Lord, in your mercy. In thanksgiving for preachers and teachers who have guided us on the way, bring us with them to rejoice eternally in you. Lord, in your mercy.
Gracious God, we do indeed lift to you all who are broken this day in body, mind, or spirit, remembering especially in our prayers today Kevin Lent, Sarah Snyder, Ann Swinehart, Don Davis, Susan Painter, Judy Whitlatch, Laura Cusick, Lynn Clark, Pam Archer, Allie Phelps, Raymond Duarte, John Stern, Ed Lord, David and Donna Bowman, Keith and Kathy Swenson. Come, gracious Lord, to these and to all who are broken, filling them with your gifts of healing and wholeness, with your presence and your peace. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord, in this season of joy, we pray that you would draw especially close to those who are grieving the loss of loved ones, especially the family of Beverly Duarte. Comfort that family and all who grieve, and fill them and all of us with the hope of eternal life, that gift which Jesus our Lord was born in Bethlehem to bring to us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Hear now the prayers of these your children, O God, whether we speak those prayers to you aloud or whisper them to you in the silence of our hearts. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Confident that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us, we bring to you, O God, these prayers and those which are unspoken, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you all.
And also with you.
Share that peace with your brothers and sisters. Our service will continue now with the offering.
Thank you.
Blessed are you in the darkness and in the light. Blessed are you for your promises to your people. Blessed are you in the prophets' hopes and dreams. Blessed are you for Mary's openness to your will. Blessed are you for your Son Jesus, the Word made flesh. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Let us proclaim the mystery of the faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. With this bread and cup, we remember your word dwelling among us, full of grace and truth. We remember our new birth in his death and resurrection. We look with hope for his coming. Come, Lord Jesus. Holy God, we long for your spirit. Come among us. Bless this meal. May your word take flesh in us. Awaken your people. Fill us with your light. Bring the gift of peace on earth. Come, Holy Spirit. All praise and glory are yours, Holy One of Israel, Word of God incarnate, power of the Most High, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. The sacrament will be received today, standing or kneeling at the altar railing and using the individual glasses. Again, the purple liquid on the outer rings is wine. The clear liquid in the center is grape juice. I also have gluten-free wafers available. If you have need of those, let me know when you come forward. God fills the hungry with good things. Come, taste and see that the Lord is good.
Thank you.
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. Holy One, we give you thanks that in this bread and cup we have feasted again on your endless love. Let that love overflow more and more in our lives, that we may be messengers to prepare your way, harvesters of justice and righteousness, and bearers of your eternal word, our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. May God direct your ways in peace, make you abound in love for one another and for all, and strengthen your hearts until the coming of our Lord Jesus. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
Amen.
Our sending hymn is number 260.
Christ is with you. Thanks be to God.